Would you go ahead and have a seat this morning? Young people, it's kids camp time as the band takes a seat. You can also head on out there to kids camp. All right, here I'll start with an announcement. Usually we do announcements, you know, when receiving our gifts, but one kind of special announcement for us this morning is you are participating right now in a Christ Church first time experience. We are streaming live on the web. So watch what you do. No. Isn't that cool? Yeah, we're out there on the web, which is kind of cool. That means, by the way, now when you're on vacation, you can still worship at Christ Church, no matter where you are. So it's kind of a great thing. So the other thing we hope you'll do with that is that if you've got somebody out there that you work with, or a friend, or even a family person, you know, who's like, I don't know about this whole thing, hey, just tell them, 10:30, Sunday morning, gear your computer up, watch, check it out. And then, you know, if it speaks to you, the next week you see them, say, great, I'll pick you up. And we'll take it in live next week, right? So it's a great opportunity for you to use this as a way to just share Christ with people. So I hope you will. Well, okay, we start today with a new message series. And the title of the message series is You Be the Judge. You Be the Judge. And that's what we're hoping for. Not that you're going to sit there on some bench, but that you're going to get active and out there and let God just raise you up to be the kind of judge that He raised up in ages past. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at some folks who lived during those periods, that period of the judges in Israel's time. Folks that God just kind of put His hand on and He lifted them up and He set them apart and He set them out there to just do incredible things for Him. What you need to know is what was happening in Israel in the time of the judges was Israel was kind of going through a cycle. And the cycle was a simple one. They would get all excited about God. They'd dedicate themselves to God. They were going to just live faithful to God. And they'd do that for a while. But then after a while, they'd just start giving into this temptation or that temptation. And they'd start wandering away from God, getting further away from God. And, of course, when you get further away from God, His favor gets further away from you. And so things would start going bad. And things would finally get so bad that they would repent and they would turn back to God and they'd ask God to rescue them. And then God, out of His kindness, out of His grace, He would raise up somebody. He would reach into this world and He would raise up somebody to be a judge, to be that person that just made a difference with his life or her life and brought those people back to God. And so then they'd get back with God and they'd be faithful again for a while, but then the cycle would repeat itself, right? So that's what's going on in Israel's life at this time. And the people that God raised up became known as the judges. And those folks were lifted up not simply in the Old Testament. We can go into the New Testament. We can go into Hebrews 11, where the Apostle Paul has kind of a whole chapter, a big long chapter, where he goes through naming names of people that lived by faith. He starts out the chapter with these words. He says, "Faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. It was their faith that made our ancestors pleasing to God." And then he goes through and he names names of all those folks that really were raised up in different times and lived by faith. Does that mean they never made mistakes? No, not at all. We'll see that. But they were people that lived by faith. We're going to look at those judges. We're going to look at those people and see how can we live by faith. What we can learn, what can we learn from their experience so that we can be that kind of person in this day and age, so that we can be that kind of person that God raises up. Because I'm telling you, God needs some people to rise up in this generation to make a difference out there in the world. Because it's getting further and further and further away from God. And it is a time when God needs to raise up people of faith to make a difference. If you follow in Hebrews, Paul continues to name some of those folks. You get to the end, he gives you just a quick, brief list. Let's see how you do on the list here. Verse 32 says, "What else can I say? There isn't enough time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. How'd you do on the list? Do you know some of those guys? All right, see some heads nodding there. Gideon? Got some awareness of Gideon there? Okay, a few of you there. How about Samson? Yeah, there you go. Everybody knows Samson, of course, right away. You got to think of not just Samson, but Delilah. She always makes that, right? Sure, exactly. Then you got David, you know, great king. You got Samuel, great prophet. But what about the other two guys? Barak? Not big on the hit list, right? The hit parade? And yet Paul includes him on the list. Hang on to it. We're going to learn about him before our series is done. Or this guy, Jephthah. Ever hear of Jephthah? And yet Paul raises this guy up and says, look, you New Testament people, here is a guy who is an example of what it means to live by faith. And then he describes the great things these people did. He says, their faith helped them conquer kingdoms. And because they did right, God made promises to them. They closed the jaws of lions and put out raging fires and escaped from swords of the enemies. Although they were weak, they were given the strength and power to chase foreign armies away. Did these guys do some pretty awesome things? They were people of faith that God raised up to do awesome things and to make a great difference. We're going to learn. What are the principles that we can apply into our lives to do the same thing today? So let's look at Jephthah, the first guy you don't know about. Okay? Jephthah. It'd be nice if we started the story of Jephthah with just nice, a cozy, once upon a time, comfortable kind of thing. But Jephthah's story doesn't start that way. The first thing we learn about Jephthah is that his story begins with hardship. Okay? It comes out of Judges 11. Judges 11 starts out, says, even though Jephthah belonged to the Gilead clan, he had earlier been forced to leave the region where they lived. So he belonged to a clan of Judah, right, of Israel. He belonged to one of the tribes, Gilead, and yet he's forced out of that tribe. Now he's part of the people of God. He's part of the people of Israel. He has every right to be in that place. And yet somehow, for some reason, he is forced out. You wonder why, right? Here's the answer. Jephthah was the son of a prostitute. But his half-brothers were the sons of his father's wife. One day his half-brothers told him, you don't really belong to our family, so you can't have any of the family property. Then they forced Jephthah to leave home. What happened? Jephthah is illegitimate. Jephthah comes out of a mistake. Jephthah is looked upon by his time and his culture as a mistake. You see, he was born because his father was unfaithful and laid with a prostitute, and Jephthah is the outcome. Jephthah is somebody who was never supposed to exist. And so the people of Jephthah's family, his brothers, looked at him and said, you're out of here. You're illegitimate. You're a mistake. In their eyes, they look at Jephthah and said, he was worthless. It would be better in their eyes if Jephthah had never existed. And they run him out of the family, and they run him out of the tribe. Great beginning, huh? And yet the reality is, Jephthah is not so different than a lot of folks, at least the way we feel about ourselves. Did Jephthah do anything wrong? Didn't do anything wrong. He was just born. He was just born into this world, into the broken situation, and his brothers simply ran him off. See, the reality is hardships come into our lives. Sometimes hardships come because we make bad decisions, but sometimes hardships come just because it's the way it is. It's the way it is. In a selfish and a broken world, it's because other people make bad decisions. And we get the consequences for those decisions. And Jephthah didn't do anything wrong, but he bears the consequence of his father's decision, of his brother's decision, and he now is put into being an outcast. He runs to the hills. Each of us face difficulties. Each of us will face hardships. The question for us with Jephthah and with ourselves is, how do we deal with it? When it comes, how do we deal with it? Jephthah, remember, Paul raises him up as an example of faith. If he's an example of faith, then faith says when difficulties come, God can work even in those hardships. Faith tells us that God can work even in those hardships. Jephthah is run off. Here's what happens to him. Jephthah went to the country of Tob, where he was joined by a number of men who would do anything for money. Nice people to hang out with? He's thrown in with a bunch of rough, tough, burly outcasts. A bunch of guys who would do anything for money. And that's how they made their money. They invaded the territories of the enemies of Israel, and they took whatever they could get. That was their existence. They were robbers and outcasts who just lived by the strength of their right arm and their sword. He survives. Jephthah survives by learning to fight for his survival, to fight through the hardship he's experiencing and to fight for his survival. Can you imagine how dark Jephthah must have felt? How dark Jephthah must have felt for his life to turn out this way. Now, Jephthah could have wallowed in the darkness. Jephthah could have wallowed in self-pity. He could have just stayed there and given in to depression. He could have just sat on a hillside and said, God, I've had it. But Jephthah just continues to plod through the hardships. It's a bad situation, but Jephthah never gives up. He does what he has to do, and he keeps moving forward through the hardship. Now, he's not the only one in a bad situation, we find out. We found out that not only is Jephthah in a bad situation, but remember I told you the cycle that Israel's been going through? They've been faithful, and then they get unfaithful, and things get bad. Guess what point are they in the cycle? Well, things are getting bad. Things are getting bad. They've chased other gods. They're worshiping other gods. God has withdrawn his favor from them. Things are getting bad, and the Ammonites are now invading Israel. It says, the leaders of Gilead asked each other, who can lead an attack on the Ammonites? Then they agreed, if we can find someone who can lead the attack, we will make him the ruler of Gilead. They don't care who it is. They just want somebody from the tribe to step up. Just somebody who can step up, take control, and go fight the Ammonites. And the sad reality is the tribe is so far away from God's favor, there isn't one person in the tribe, not one person in the whole tribe, who's ready to step up for God. Not one person. Their only recourse is to turn to this brave warrior they've heard about. It says, the leaders of the Gilead clan decided to ask a brave warrior named who? Jephthah, son of Gilead, to lead the attack against the Ammonites. Did you see what just happened? Jephthah went from being the illegitimate cast out that nobody wanted anything to do with to becoming a brave warrior, a son of Gilead, and the one they needed to rescue them. How'd that happen? How do you make that change? How do you go from this to that? It's because God was in the middle of Jephthah's hardest times, his difficulties. And God used the difficulties to prepare Jephthah to be a leader. Do you see that? It's because he was out there learning the ways of being a warrior that he's now the only one in the whole clan who can save them. God takes Jephthah in those times of hardship and darkness and difficulty, and he hones him into exactly what he needs to be, to step up and become the one who leads God's people into rescue. Is that incredible or what? God uses the hardship to create Jephthah for a greater purpose. And faith believes that's what God can do. Faith believes that God's at work in the hard times. Faith believes that the hard times can even serve God's purpose. Faith believes that the hard times, they'll have an end. You just got to keep moving through them. Faith believes that God will not let go of the purpose he has for your life. Let me illustrate it for you. I have here a nice, crisp $20 bill. Looks like a nice one, doesn't it? Nice, crisp, pretty clean, good-looking $20 bill. Anybody like it? Not one in the house wants 20 bucks? I'll tell you what, I'm expecting a big offering if nobody wants the 20 bucks. You're doing that well. I expect a big offering. Yeah. I mean, somebody in the house would like to have this, I suppose. Yes? Yeah, okay. Well, how about this? How about if it's kind of crumply and worn and not so pretty anymore? Would you still want the 20 bucks? Yeah, you would? How about this? How about if I take that 20 bucks and I just grind on it a little bit, stomp it down a little bit? How about if I just kind of mush it down into the ground a little bit and really press on that 20 bucks? Would you still want the 20 bucks? Sure. Why? Because the $20 is still valuable. Even though it's been beaten, even though it's been crushed, even though it's been wrinkled, even though it's marred and imperfect, it hasn't lost its value. And it still can achieve the purpose of buying whatever it is you need out there in the world, can it? That's just the way we are with God. We may get beaten, we may get battered, we may get wrinkled and marred by the difficult and hard things that come into our life, but it doesn't change our value to God. And it doesn't change the thing God wants us to accomplish for His glory. It just makes us more ready. Our value is still there. We just have to believe in that value and persevere through the hardships. If that's not a good enough example for you, watch the screen for a minute and hear a real life story of a young man who went through hard times, persevered, and see the change in his life.
My mom, she started doing drugs real bad, and everything just went bad from there. The lights went off, the water went off. We had to go to our next door neighbors and get water out of their water hose to flush our toilet. We'd throw off bologna and maybe bread for like maybe weeks, you know. She'd always be late with the rent, or something would happen with the lease. We started just moving to different places, and we even stayed in motels and hotels and things like that. So at that point, she started prostituting, just to make sure that we would have a place to stay that night. It went from worse to worse to worse, and it never got to the point where it started getting better. So she ended up going to jail for maybe a year and a half. And I was skipping school. The main things I cared about was money, sex, gambling, being able to do what I want to do. My mom, she wrote a letter to my aunt asking my aunt to come and get me because of all the stuff I had got into. And my aunt was a really religious woman, so I really wasn't looking forward to going staying with her. I was going to have to live by some type of rules. I was totally on lockdown, and my aunt actually whooped me. She told me up anytime I got out of line. And all of a sudden, like halfway through my ninth grade year, my mom gets out of prison. And I was like, yes, I get to go back to the free living. I get to go back doing what I want to do. My mom, she came with a whole different game plan. She got saved when she was in prison, and she came with the intentions of making sure I get through high school, and she's going to make me get up and go to church. You know, I really wasn't trying to hear that either. And after about a year, I got introduced to our youth service, and the first reason I started going at first was because I heard there was some fine women up in there, so I had to go check it out. I ended up going one Sunday, and there was no women there, and there was nobody there for me to talk to, and I just had nothing else to do but pay attention to what the preacher was saying. And I seen this drama piece. It was piercing my heart. And I finally made the decision to give my life to the Lord. And at that point, everything in my life just started to change. It was just 100% change. I stopped disobeying my mother. No more sex. I stopped acting up in school. And I stopped messing with drugs, you know, selling them. And I stopped gambling. My teachers were willing to work with me. And believe it or not, I didn't really learn how to read until my ninth grade year in high school. But then I actually had to learn how to read because I had to read the Bible. I started getting caught up on my credit, going to summer school, doing extra classes, doing stuff after school, doing stuff before school. I got into this group called FCA at school. It's Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It was only about maybe 3 or 4 people. And at the end of my junior year, they assigned me the president for my senior year. And this year we have maybe 20 to 30 people on the average each time. And I was actually bringing up some of my football player teammates as well, you know, through prayer and telling them to come to FCA with me. And I applied to a lot of different colleges. I got accepted to Stephen F. Austin College. I know that I'm going to go to college and I'm going to make something of myself. No telling what the Lord has in store for me. And I think that Jesus Christ coming into my life was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Beaten, battered, yet the best thing that ever happened to him was Jesus Christ. Now his life is on track to make a difference. Sounds like Jephthah, doesn't it? Got to go quick, but just to give you the rest of Jephthah's story. The big thing Jephthah learned is when that invitation came and God's time of hardship was done for him, he had to step up and seize the moment. Here's what happens with Jephthah. So the leaders of Gilead went to Jephthah and said, "Please come back to Gilead. If you lead our army, we'll be able to fight off the Amorites." So the moment comes, and it's right there in front of Jephthah. Listen, when the hardship comes to an end, that moment comes, you got to be ready to take it. You got to be ready to step into that moment. And don't let anything dissuade you. Look at what happens to Jephthah. "Didn't you hate me?" Jephthah replied. "Weren't you the one who forced me to leave my family? You're coming to me now just because you're in trouble." Now, a little angry? Would it have been so easy for Jephthah to miss that whole moment and just stay right there in his anger? How easy would it have been for him to just stay right there in the anger and just be angry and frustrated and want to get even with these guys? And he would have stayed and missed the moment. When the moment comes, you got to be ready to step up and step into what God wants for you. They came back and said, "But we do want you to come back," the leader said. "And if you lead us in battle against the Ammonites, we'll make you the ruler of Gilead." "All right," Jephthah said. "If I go back with you and the Lord lets me defeat the Ammonites, will you really make me your ruler?" Look what happens to Jephthah. He steps into the moment and God now opens up even more than what you expected. Not only did he come back the lead against the Ammonites, but he now becomes the ruler of the whole clan. God expands the opportunity of what Jephthah has been prepared for. He's not been prepared just to fight the Ammonites. He's been prepared to be a leader in the clan, which he leads for 6 years as a judge. See what God can do when you step into the moment? Jephthah steps into it. It says, "So Jephthah went back to Mishpah with the leaders of Gilead. The people of Gilead gathered at the place of worship and made Jephthah their ruler. And Jephthah also made promises to them." He steps into that opportunity, that moment that God creates. He doesn't let his anger keep him back, but he steps into that moment. When you step into that moment, you got to step into that moment in God's wisdom. You got to step up and step into it in God's wisdom. Look what Jephthah does right away. It says, "After the ceremony, Jephthah sent messengers to say to the king of Ammon, 'Are you trying to start a war?'" Good question, huh? "Are you trying to start a war? You've invaded my country, and I want to know why." This is so fat. Jephthah doesn't just step up now, take the reins, gather those crusty guys around him, and just go make war. He exercises wisdom first. He sends messengers. He tries to find peace before they come to war. Of course, we know that they don't find that peace. And the reason they don't is because Jephthah refuses to compromise. He refuses to compromise on what God has already given to his people. It says, "The messengers also told the king of Ammon that Jephthah had said, The Lord God of Israel helped his nation get rid of the Amorites and take their land. Now do you think you're going to take over the same territory? If Chemosh, your God, takes over a country and gives it to you, don't you have a right to it? And if the Lord takes over a country and gives it to us, the land is whose? Ours. See, Jephthah is not going to compromise on what God has done for his people. You step into the moment, but you step in with wisdom, and you don't compromise on God's principles. You don't compromise on God's principles. For Jephthah, the outcome is to say, I haven't done anything to you, but it's certainly wrong of you to start a war. I pray the Lord will show whether Israel or Ammon is right. He steps into the moment, and he just simply now exercises the wisdom that says, it's in God's hands. It's all in God's hands. We're just going to trust God for this. And that's what you have to do. You have to step into that moment and just trust God for it. You know the cartoon character Calvin and Hobbes? Or those guys? Yeah, there's one cartoon where Hobbes once said, God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now I'm so far behind I'll never die. See, God's put you on this earth for a purpose. When you step into it, though, there's no compromise. You step into it to exercise what God wants, God's wisdom, right? And you do that knowing that God will give you everything you need. That's what happens to Jephthah. He now steps into it and steps up to it with God's Spirit. It says in 29, then the Lord's Spirit took control of Jephthah, and Jephthah went through Gilead, Manasseh, raising an army. And then he goes into battle, he defeats them, and he delivers the Israelites. And it'd be nice to kind of end the story there, not only because I'm out of time, but just because it's a nice story, right? There's one little bump in the road you need to know. Jephthah, in the midst of this, shows us his flaws. The Bible never hides our weaknesses. The great thing is when God gets you through the hardship and he gives you that moment and you step into it with his wisdom and you trust in his Spirit, he will accept you even with your flaws. He will use you even with your flaws. So you may sit here this morning and say, that's Jephthah. There's no way. There's no way I could do something like that. There's just no way. I'm too broken. I just don't know enough. I'm just not strong enough in faith. There's just no way. See, Jephthah was just like us. And he had his own weakness. And he had his own flaws. Here it is. It says, he arrived at Mishpah in Gilead, where he promised the Lord, if you'll let me defeat the Ammonites and come home safely, I will sacrifice to you whoever comes out to meet me first. See what he does? He tries to cut a deal with God. He tries to get God on his terms instead of letting his heart stay on God's terms. He wants to get that added insurance, that added little bit of bargaining that says, God, you got to do it on my terms here. The outcome of it is that vow cost Jephthah his one and only child, his daughter. Cost him his daughter, which also cost him his lineage. You see, God accepts us even with our flaws, and he can use us in spite of our flaws. That's what Paul tries to tell us in 1 Corinthians 15. But God was kind. He made me what I am, and his wonderful kindness wasn't wasted. I worked much harder than any of the other apostles, although it was really God's kindness at work, and not who? Me. You see, it was all God using Jephthah. I am convinced that there are Jephthahs in this room. And I know you've been through some difficult times, and you may be in the midst of them right now. But I know God can bring them to an end. And he's going to put an opportunity in front of you. But you got to be ready to seize it and step into it. Exercise his wisdom and trust only in his Spirit, because he looks beyond your flaws and he sees what you can become. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We ask that you would just help us learn this morning from this incredible life of Jephthah. And we share so many things with him. We share the experience of hardship and disappointment. And we ask that we would share the incredible experience of being raised up by you. And when that time comes, help us to step into that moment and to seize every opportunity for you and to not be afraid, but to just trust in your wisdom, trust in your spirit, not be dissuaded, but just be confident in you. Help us to simply trust in your kindness, a kindness that looks beyond our weakness and our flaws and sees everything we can become and everything we can accomplish for your glory. We ask this so humbly through Jesus Christ, who did everything for us. In his precious name, amen.